Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for worshiping with us here at Grace Point. Those of you here in person, thank you for worshiping with us. And also online, we're grateful that you've joined us online. We still have a lot of people that are worshiping with us online. So thank you for joining us both in person and also those of you who joined us online and are worshiping with us this morning. In just a few moments, I want to talk with you about a fresh start with our church. These last few weeks, we've been talking about a fresh start. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about a fresh start with our attitude. It kind of begins there. We talked about the fact that our attitude affects everything about us. And so we talked about that and what the Bible teaches us and about the sovereignty of God. And when we settle that issue and understand that everything that comes into our life, it's not meaningless or random, that God has a purpose for that. It helps us to have the right attitude. We talked about that the first week, fresh start with our attitude. Then last week I talked to you about a fresh start with our words, and we talked about vocal holiness, that we are careful and responsible with our words, and we talked about the power that our words have, tremendous power. And I think we probably all need a fresh start from time to time with our words. And then today, so if you're taking notes on your outline there, I'll be careful with my attitude. We talked about that the first week. From our attitude then flows our words. So I will be responsible last week with my words. And today, if you're taking notes, I will be committed to my church. A fresh start with our church. We're going to talk today and next week about this fresh start. I will be choose to be committed to my church. So a little different format today. Let me talk to you about that today and next week. I'm gonna share with you just briefly, 10 minutes here in just a minute, talking about some key truths about the church. There are six. I'm going to give you three today and three next week. And then after I share these first three, then I've asked three of our staff members to come. They'll each have a few minutes to come and share about their ministry, the ministry that they lead here at Grace Point Church. You see me, hear from me every single week. Certainly that's my job. That's my calling to be pastor and to preach. At the same time, there are many other staff that you don't get an opportunity to see or to hear from. And so as we think about the church, and specifically Grace Point Church, your church, one of the things I want to do this week and next week is give you an opportunity to hear from some of the church staff. Today you're going to hear from Guy Earle, Pastor Guy, who's our executive pastor. Then after that you're going to hear from Nathan Moore, who's our student pastor. Then you'll hear from Julie Richardson, who's our preschool children's director. Each of them will come and just share a little bit about their ministry, their heart for ministry, their calling to ministry, why they love it, and ways you can serve and get involved. And now you can pray for them. So they'll be coming here in just a few minutes. But let me talk for just a minute about the church and give you these three truths to start, three more next week, total of six. We're going to build on these and in the weeks to come. So I think first of all, I don't think the question is, what is the church? I think the question is, who is the church? That's the question. Not what, but who. When we talk about the church, who is the church? So, number one, takeaway number one, if you're taking notes. And this is foundational. We all need to get this as we think about Grace Point Church. The church is not a building. It is the people of God. So when we think about Grace Point Church, this building that we're in is not Grace Point Church. The building over here, our preschool children's building and our student building, this is not the church. They're buildings that house the church. So the church is not a building. It is the people of God. That's you and me. So when we speak of Grace Point Church, we're speaking of you and me and those online who are church family that are part of Grace Point Church. And one of the things I want you to hear today and every week that you know in person, online, is that you understand that every single person matters at Grace Point Church. Every single person matters. And I'll expand on this later in the weeks ahead, every person is needed at Grace Point Church. Could you imagine what Grace Point Church could accomplish if every person fully engaged, fully committed, use their spiritual gifts and serve at the church? We could do amazing things in Christ. I want to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll be brief to let other staff come and share, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this chapter talks about spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches us that when we are saved, we surrender our life to Christ, we are giving. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about it. Spiritual gifts. I won't have time to go into all of that. So 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts. And I want to read beginning in verse 12. So certainly it's in the context of spiritual gifts. But the other thing I want to draw from this is it's in the context also of the church body. And that's really what I want you to get from this. The importance of every person matters. We are the body of Christ. A church is not a building. It's the people of God. Let me show you this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." Verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." It's a church. Church body. Now, he's using this analogy of our literal body when he says, "If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell?" So everybody has gifts. Everybody's unique is what he's saying. Everybody's needed. "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." Verse 21. "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." Now I go down to verse 27. I finish with this. "Now you are the body of Christ." Okay, that's us, the church. "And individually members of it." So this is, when we talk about the church, when I speak of Grace Point Church, I'm not talking about the buildings that we gather in. I'm talking about the people that comprise Grace Point Church. On your outline, the church is the regenerate people of God, saved by the power and grace of God for the purpose of God in this world. Now, there's a lot to the church. I'm not going to get to all of it, of course, in the next week or two, but we'll certainly start talking about it. But understand, when we think about and talk about the church, Grace Point Church, we're talking about you and me, the people of God. Number two, the church is valuable. First of all, the church, the Bible is clear that the church is not a building, it's the people of God. Acts 2 talks about the first church. They met in temple courts and in homes. The second thing, the church is valuable to God, used by God in great ways. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." That sacrificial love. Gave himself up for her. So God sees the church as valuable. The local church is a community of Christians who live as the on-the-ground expression of the supremacy of Jesus by advancing his gospel in distance and depth. So God sees the church as valuable, first of all, because it's you and me, and he values people and loves people. Second, he also values the church because of how he will use the church and desires to use the church to advance the gospel, and then third, to reveal Christ. And that's why I say to you so often that everything, the stories in the Bible point to one that is true and greater, pointing to Jesus. That's why we in our ministries, we always want to be pointing to one that is true and greater. He is Jesus. So he uses the church, God does, to reveal Christ. It's another reason why it's so valuable. He gave himself up for her. And then number three, I'd say to you this, the church is built by God. God builds the church. This is God's church, and God builds the church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church, it's not a building, it's the people of God. The church is valuable to God, and the church is built by God. God builds the church. God has built this church. Even back in 2005, when God called me to start Grace Point Church, and 43 people showed up for the very first time. That was God beginning to build his church. So let's be clear, over the years, as God has blessed, that God is the one who has grown this church. He continues to grow this church, and he will be the one that grows it as we move forward. He built it, and he is the one that grows this church. In that verse, in verse 18, Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said, "I will build my church. I will build my church." And so from the very start of Grace Point Church, this was a founding principle that we believe, and we still believe, that it is God who grows the church. It is God who builds the church. The growth of the church points to the greatness and glory of God, not to any staff that we're going to hear from, or pastor, or elders. Certainly we have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to lead and to cast vision and to pastor and to preach and to teach and to do these things that he called me to do. But at the end of the day, we need to understand, we always want to keep in full view that it is by the grace of God, it is the power of God, it is his church, and he is the one that has grown and continues to grow and build his church. Those three things I want to leave with you today, and then other three we'll pick back up when we talk next week. These six, I think, important principles when we think about the church. We have the opportunity to gather, you and I as family, and me to teach every week. So you get to see me, I get to see you every week, but you don't always get to see the rest of the staff. And so I wanted to take some time this morning and then next week for you just to hear from your staff and their heart for ministry and what they do here at Grace Point, and then ways that you can pray for them and encourage them in the days ahead. First of all, I've asked Guy to come. Guy Earle is our executive pastor, which means he wears a lot of different hats around here, does a lot of different things. One of the things he's going to share with you about and kind of lean into this morning is this prayer ministry. The Lord has really placed it on his heart that we should, you know, certainly be a praying church. And how does that play out? What does that look like? So Guy's going to share that. Guy's married to Christy Earle, and they have two children, Jeremiah, who teaches at Strickland Middle School, and Isabella, who's a senior at Guy High School. I'm thankful for Guy and for his family. The Lord's brought him here. The Guy, you share with us.
Good morning, Grace Point. Good morning, Grace Point. Come on, y'all. Need some energy. Good morning to those of you who are joining us online, and we appreciate your faithfulness. My name is Guy Earle, and I am the executive pastor here. What does that mean? Let me share just a couple of things of my heart and my thoughts of what it means to be the executive pastor here at Grace Point. First, the ministries that I help come alongside, our pastor leads our staff. He gives us direction. He gives us vision every single week for the year. And so he will always be the lead of our staff. It is my job as the executive pastor to come alongside him and then to take that vision and run the play, so to speak, to cast the vision amongst our staff, our departments, the ministries that we have here at Grace Point Church. And so on a weekly basis, my job is to kind of oversee our staff, manage our schedules, our ministries. One of the biggest things I do here at Grace Point is I oversee our budget. There is not a day that goes by, there's not a week that goes by, there's not a month that goes by that I don't have a clear view of what our blessings that we receive on a weekly basis from our tithes and our offering, that I oversee that And it is my job to make sure that we are using that money to minister to our people here on Grace Point campus, but also our community and then in our missions. And so on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, I meet with our accountant. I have trustees that help me oversee our budget. And the irony of me sharing that with you today is today we are in the final stages of presenting our 2021 budget. I meet periodically with our trustees every single month, and then towards the end of the calendar year of 2020, we get together, we get our budget going for 2021, we meet, we slash, we add, we go line by line, and then today I will be presenting that with our trustees before our elder body. They will look over that, they'll have questions for us, we'll have answers for them, and then next week we will present that to the church for 2021. So there's a lot that goes into overseeing our budget, managing the gifts that you have given us through the course of the year. Another part of being an executive pastor is I get the chance to manage our staff. Now, we have a great staff. I am not a micromanager. I don't go into the office every day. I'm not right next to them. I allow them to lead out in their gifts. A great friend of mine told me years ago when I was stepping into this position, he said, "Guy, if you want to make it as an executive pastor, here's the one rule of advice that I would give you. Trust the people that you hire." And so I've taken that to heart. And we've been blessed here at Grace Point Church. You're going to hear from them over this week and next week. We have a great staff. And so what I do is I try to come alongside them. I try to assist them. I try to lead them as far as where can I help to be a part of their ministry. They have things going on. And then, again, I take their vision. I line up with the vision that our pastor has. And then we go and we try to make that happen to the best of our gifts. Pastor wanted us to share our calling into the ministry. Now, I will tell you this, in all honesty, my calling is not to be a pencil pusher. My calling is not to look at numbers on a screen every day, but my calling is people. And I know that the role of an executive pastor has to be involved with the people that he helps lead. And so my calling is just to love people. I love being around people. I love serving people. If you know me, I am a professional hugger. So if you've met me out on the parking lot, you've been embraced by one of my hugs. My dad taught me long ago that if you're ever going to hug somebody, let them feel you. So I take that to heart. If you've been hugged by me, you felt my power. You felt my grip. I just love being around people. So I feel like my calling here as the position of the executive pastor is my calling is to people. My calling is to love people, and I serve in the capacity of being the executive pastor, which helps me connect with you. And so I just love being a part of God's kingdom. I love being a part of the growing process of what that means, how we minister to people, how do we care for people, and how do we serve our community. I am huge with trying to serve our community, and that's what my job at Grace Point, it leads me to be just to be about people's lives. And so how can you serve Grace Point? So a year ago, I just, again, a lot of things that I want to share with you is kind of things that I deal with my own spiritual life and my own growth. About a year ago, I shared with a pastor. I said, "Man, I want us to be a praying church." And so what we did was on Wednesday nights from 5 to 6, we started opening up our sanctuary. And what we do is we set the sanctuary up. We kind of dim the lights. We have some instrumental music going on. And for an hour, we shut down this sanctuary. No one is allowed to come in here. We don't have the worship team coming here preparing for practice. We put a sign on the door. And for an hour, we just want you to experience the presence of God. And we want people to come and pray. And we had that for about a year. And there are people who periodically will step in and step out. And we have it set up for an hour, but you can come for 5 minutes. We want that hour to be intentional, that however people come along, if they want to stop in after work, they could be a part of our prayer ministry. Well, I shared with Pastor that I want to take this one step further. The first Monday we had in January, where we had the full staff back, and Pastor asked the staff 3 questions. How are you connecting? How are you greeting people into your department? And how are you following up? How are you connecting? How are you greeting people into your department? And how are you following up? And I sat there and I'm thinking, well, how can we get people connected to Grace Point during this pandemic? There are people online right now viewing who have not come back to church yet because of the crowds. And man, you have every right to feel that. And we want to come alongside you during that time. There are people who are coming to our services on Sunday morning who may even go into a small group, but still kind of protecting themselves from being around large groups. But we know the importance of staying connected to the church, staying connected to people. So I came up with this idea called circle up. And circle up can take place with one, two, or three people. You can circle up with just you and God. You can circle up with you, another person, and God. Or you can circle up with you, two other people, and God. It's just circling up. And I'm asking for your presence. I'm asking for you guys to be seen. I'm asking for our people who are still yet, that they're just kind of holding back, waiting to see what's happening during the pandemic. I'm asking you, this is your opportunity to connect to the church, your opportunity to connect to God. So what does that mean? So that means on a Wednesday night from 5 to 6, again, the sanctuary is already set. We dim the lights, we have soft music, and when you come on campus, you don't have to bump into anyone else other than the people you are already doing life with. If you have another person that you're already doing life with, that you've been around, that you don't mind seeing that person, or you're not fearful and you guys are friends, I'm asking you to grab that friend and come to the church, come to campus. Maybe it's two other people. Maybe it's you by yourself. You'll come to the main building. You can walk to the doors. You can come to the side doors. You can walk in and you can walk out. And it allows you to stay connected to the church. And for that hour, I'm asking you to join me in prayer. And what are we going to pray for? We're going to pray. Can you go to the next slide? We're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray for salvations, for lives to be transformed, for believers' baptism. We're going to pray for our pastors, our elders, our leaders, our volunteers, people who are serving right now. We're praying for healing for our people, our financial burdens, for attendance, for people to come and gather to experience the relationships that we have. We're praying for our community, the local officials, our leaders, the schools, the educators, our teachers, our local businesses and owners. We're praying for hospitals, first responders, for law enforcers, for firemen. We're praying for the country, for our leadership in the country, for Congress, for the House, the Senate, for unity amongst our country, for those who are battling COVID. We are just going to pray, 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 and get on our knees, 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 and we're going to let God hear our cries. That's our heart. But we can't do it by ourselves. And so I'm asking, for those of you who still have this kind of fear that you don't want to be around a lot of people, you can still be connected to the church on Wednesday nights. This is your opportunity. You can just reach out to me, guy@gracepointdenton.com. One of the greatest things I heard all week, last week, was on Wednesday night. I'm sitting up here. I have another person with me. We're praying. And I heard people right here in the front row praying. We had a group in the back, and we had a group over here. We had three groups of people here praying. And I told Pastor, what a beautiful sound. That when you walk up into the sanctuary, you have people praying for people. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Exodus 17. Moses gathers up Joshua, and he says, I need you to go and fight the tribe, the Amalekites. And it's one of the first battles that the Israelites had as they crossed the Red Sea. And Moses says, I'm going to go take myself and I'm going to park on top of the mountain. And so Moses was up there and Moses raised up his arms and he's crying out to God. And when the people saw Moses raise his arms up, they were victorious. They found success. But the moment he dropped his arms, the Amalekites began to move in and fight and defeat the Israelites. So what Aaron and Hur did, Aaron and Hur went up and they placed Moses up against a rock. And then they picked up his arms when he was tired and he held up his arms. And when his arms were raised to God, the people were encouraged because they knew the last time they saw the picture of Moses raising his arms to God, they saw the miracle of the Red Sea being parted. And they knew that God was hearing his prayer. The ministry of presence is where we need you. If you're asking, if you're online right now, if you're asking where you can serve this church, look no further than Wednesday night in here holding up the arms of the church in prayer. That's where we need you. And so the last thing our pastor wanted us to do is, where can you pray for me? How can you pray for me? Church, I'm not going to ask you to pray for me. I'm going to ask you to join me and pray with me on Wednesday nights. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Guy. All right. Thank you, Guy, for sharing. As he said, if you want more information, please feel free to reach out to him. We have the emails of all the staff that are sharing today. And maybe it's just wanting more information, asking more questions. This is a great opportunity for you to connect through our Circle Up Prayer Group ministry on Wednesday night. So thank you, Guy, for sharing with us. Okay, Nathan Moore. Nathan is our student pastor. And Nathan is married to Jill Ann. They have a, I guess, six-month-old baby named Brady. So Nathan has not slept the whole night for 6 months. But we're glad to hear Nathan, great family, and he's done a great job of our student ministry. He's going to share with us this morning.
All right, yeah, I mentioned the first service, too, that he's absolutely right in the sleeping part, except my baby Brady, he sleeps really, really good every night except Saturday nights. So every Saturday night he knows, hey, Dad, you got to get up early tomorrow. It's 3 a.m. I should cry. So anyway, no. So, yeah, so I'm Nathan. I'm the student pastor here. And student ministry at Grace Point goes from 6th grade through 12th grade. So that's all middle school and high school from 6th grade all the way through senior year in high school. And I've been here a little over 2 years in that position. So we meet during the 9:30 service on Sunday morning. So right now over in the student building, they're over there having their time, their student worship time. And then we also meet on Wednesday nights. We have a time of a little more laid back time of some games and a time of worship and some teaching then on Wednesday nights as well as an opportunity for them to just hang out and play some different games and stuff like that there, as well as we have events throughout the year like youth camp and retreats and stuff, which have looked a little different this past year, obviously, but that's definitely a part of it as well. So as a student ministry at Grace Point, our goal is we want it to be a place where students can build a strong foundation of their faith, where they can be introduced to Jesus for the first time, maybe, or where they can begin to build this solid, strong foundation that is going to set them up for success in their walk with God as they go on to college, as they go on into the workforce, and as they go on into the real world. And we also, one of the biggest benefits, I think, as well, is for it to be a place where they can find Christian community, a place where students can be connected with other students who love Jesus and other students who are trying to navigate middle school and high school as a believer. And the kids are probably, they're tired of hearing me say this, but it's a way to hit pause on your week, too. It's a way to hit pause on your busy week on a Wednesday night, step away, stop the studying, stop all that stuff, hit pause, and go and just spend time with friends and spend time with Jesus. So those are things that we strive for in our student ministry here at Grace Point. So I'm drawn to youth ministry partially because I would say I'm kind of a product of youth ministry. So I was just very, very blessed to have parents and grandparents and a family, really, that taught me the importance of a relationship with Jesus, that explained the gospel to me at a young age, that lived out by example what that looks like, and that has helped me grow into that. But I also can look back on my life and credit youth ministry. I can look back on my life and say that youth ministry really gave me a place to find that Christian community, really gave me a place to have other students that I am practically working my faith out alongside, that I'm walking along that journey with. And I can look back on that and I can say that 100% just had an amazing impact on my life and is definitely get some credit for why I am where I am today. So that's part of the reason that I'm drawn to youth ministry, that I love doing youth ministry. I just love being able to be a small part of the work that God does in these students' lives, a small part in building that foundation that God is doing there. I also love it because middle school and high school are just very, very important times in our lives. And you know this from your own lives. If you have kids, whether they are young or grown, you know that those middle school and high school years are just, those are very formative, very important years. And as you begin to it's important to have that foundation of faith in those years so that when you go into college, when you're faced with difficulties, the hardships of life, when you get into the real world and you face those things, that you can look back on that foundation you've built over the years on the Bible, and it kind of sets you up for success in that way. So specifically, I really have a passion and just love Generation Z. So if you're not like me, and I have like this weird obsession with reading about generations and stuff like that, but if you're not like me and you don't know what Gen Z is, Generation Z is our students that were born between the year 1997 and either 2012 or 2015, depending on what source you want to look at. So that's Gen Z. So all the students in our group right now would fall into that gap, would fall into Generation Z. And when we think of Generation Z, and part of why I'm so just passionate about youth ministry and part of why youth ministry is so important here at Grace Point is when we think about Gen Z, usually our mind goes to, yeah, they're pretty anti-Bible, right? They're pretty anti-God. They're not really about those things. And there's some things that would support that, right? So I have a couple of statistics that I wrote down. So example, only 14% of teens would rank spiritual maturity among future goals. And another one, only 33% of teens even think about the Bible on a semi-regular basis. So those would show, yeah, man, there's a great need for our students to be plugged into the church, plugged in with other students who are followers of Christ. But there's this other really awesome statistics I want to share with you as well. So this says 71% of teens are open to attending religious services if invited by a friend. 71%, that's significant, that's a lot. Another statistic says teens are 4 times more likely to ask friends about the meaning of life rather than go to the Bible or religious leaders. So what this tells me about Gen Z is they value that community, they value truth, they want to find truth, and they find that from each other. They look to each other for that. So as a ministry, and it's something that I am passionate about and love, is being a place, an environment where we can equip these students, where one, we can introduce them to Jesus, introduce them to the gospel, but also equip them to be able to share the gospel with their friends. And that can go beyond just verbally saying it. That goes to being ready, being prepared for those difficult questions that their friends are going to come to them and ask, being prepared to go out and invite friends to go and do that. So as a ministry, we want to be a group that is preparing those students to be able to share the gospel, be able to make an impact for Jesus in the hallways of their school and in their homes. And that's done best when students are leading students through that. So that's one of the reasons I just love being a part of student ministry, one of the reasons I love student ministry in general. So let's think through some of the ways that potentially you can serve in the student ministry. So we have several different avenues, several different ways that you can serve. One, and probably the biggest ask, would be small group leaders. Now this is the one, when I say the biggest ask, I mean it's the one that requires the most out of you, out of a small group leader. So small group leaders, we like to break up into small groups whenever we can. It's been a little limited this year just because we don't have a lot of space for social distancing in some of our rooms over there. But small groups are so important because it gives the students an opportunity to break apart from the larger group and be with kids that are of the same gender, the same age, and that's where the real discussion, that's where the real accountability, that's where the real community comes in, is through those small groups. So small group leaders are a vital role in our ministry in that they lead those out, and that requires, just as Guy mentioned, the ministry of presence, consistently being there, and I'm not going to share all the statistics with you, but there's all the statistics in the world to show that kids are going to open up, kids are going to be there for people that care about them, and they're going to go to the people that care about them. So that's what a small group leader is. It's someone that is caring about kids, that is consistent in their lives, and is helping push them towards Jesus and point them towards that. So we have that, and then we also have opportunities to serve on Wednesday nights, and that is more of just a being there kind of thing, another ministry of presence, hanging out with the students. Now, there certainly is some aspect of that of being the adult in the room, but also just being there, having the presence ministry with the kids. Now, there's kind of 2 windows on Wednesday nights for that. We have from 6 to 7 is like a hangout time, and that's just purely kids playing basketball, stuff like that. So that's an option if you're interested in serving in that way, or we have the actual service time from 7 to 8 where we have a time of worship and teaching and stuff that we need, certainly need volunteers for it as well. We also have opportunities through events. Whenever we have special events, when we have camps and stuff like that, there's always just so many little odd jobs, whether it's serving food, helping with this paperwork, helping with whatever. There's always little things in that. So maybe that interests you, helping out on a more on events, not quite as frequently as some of the other stuff. And the biggest way I think that you guys can serve, and that this is a way that every single one of you can, is through prayer. Is through praying for our students, praying just for them walking through this time of life. So students, it's difficult right now going through school and stuff with all the changes and everything, so praying for them in that. You can also be praying for parents of students right now as they navigate just, man, there's so many difficult questions and so many different conversations and discussions that go on, and you know this, that go on in the home. So I think praying for parents in those conversations and praying for our students as they navigate their faith and just the weird school year that's going on right now, some of the biggest ways you can serve and the best way you can be praying for our ministry. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan, for sharing. If you have questions, the best way to contact him is nathan@gracepointdenton.com. Maybe whether it's considering serving, maybe you just want to ask questions to get more information, please feel free to reach out to him. Maybe you have kids that aren't yet engaged in student ministry, but you have questions about the ministry, another way just to contact, another opportunity just to contact Nathan and talk through that with him, and he'll be glad to answer questions for you. So thankful for Nathan and Jillian and Brady and their commitment here to Grace Point Church. Julie Richardson, come and share. Julie. Julie is our preschool children's director. She is married to Stephen Richardson. They have two children. Mark is a sixth grader at Lake Dallas Middle School. Cameron is a sophomore at Lake Dallas High School, and Julie does a great job leading our preschool children's ministry, so she's going to share with us this morning.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say that I think it's rude that they had me follow those professional public speakers. Like Pastor Dave said, my name is Julie Richardson, and I am the children's director here at Grace Point. I started out just serving in the ministry back in 2006 under the leadership of Amy Petit. I served in the twos room for several years, and mainly because those kids were the least intimidating to me. In 2012, I was asked to lead my first VBS and came onto staff officially right after that as the elementary coordinator. Over the next several years, I had several different roles. And then in 2018, Amy passed the baton of director to me. So I've been in this role currently for just almost 3 years. And yes, Amy is still very much on my speed dial. I thank God every day for my place here. I truly feel like he has called me here, and I am so humbled that he has trusted me with this ministry. I am blessed to be able to work beside some of my dearest friends and for a church filled with people that I truly count as family. For those that don't know, our children's ministry serves kids from birth through fifth grade. So we get your babies and infant car seats and diapers, and they leave us 12 years later looking and sounding, but not quite acting like adults. Needless to say, we get pretty attached. There's always lots of tears that first Sunday that they make their way over to the youth building, but they always do come back and visit, and some of them even stay to serve. It is such a blessing for not only me, but for all of those that serve in the ministry to be able to watch your kids grow. Not only watching them grow grow up physically, but also growing in the faith. We have such a pleasure of walking beside you as parents as you lead your kids to Jesus. In the Kids Zone, we feel called to serve not only the child, but also the family as a whole. We know that when the church and the family partner together, we have a greater chance of making a larger impact in the heart and the life of a child for Jesus. Everything that we do over there in the Kids Zone has that in mind, from our Sunday lessons all the way to our big events. By the time the kids leave our ministry, our hope is that they have a solid foundation in who God is, an understanding of the importance of his word in their life, and that they know that church is a place that they are loved deeply. On top of our Sunday ministry, we also host several big events throughout the year. VBS, Kids Camp, Fall Festival. If you've been around to see any of those events, you know what a big deal they are and that they take all hands on deck to pull them off. Each of those events are a way for us to teach God's word to not only our Grace Point kids, but also to so many kids in our community. These events are things that we look forward to and plan for all year long. Obviously, none of these things would be possible without our amazing army of volunteers. We have over 50 volunteers that serve faithfully in the ministry for Sunday mornings, and so many more that help to pull off our big events. Many of them have been serving for way more years than I can even remember. These are the people that are teaching your kids the Bible, that are putting Band-Aids on boo-boos, and talking through all the preteen dilemmas with them. They truly are the heartbeat of our ministry. The one thing that I try to remind them often is that what they do here matters. Teaching God's children is a big deal. It's not always easy for them to get up here early on a Sunday morning to come and serve, especially if it's cold or raining, but they do it. And they do it because they love God and they love your kids. If you're thinking that God might be serving you or calling you to serve in the ministry, I'd love the chance to talk with you more. I understand that teaching in the classroom isn't for everybody. I understand. I was terrified when I first started. But we have lots of different areas to jump in, like greeting or helping with check-in, cleaning toys, which is really important these days, even building sets or arts and crafts. Basically, no matter what you're good at, there's likely a place for you in our ministry. This year hasn't been easy for us. Just like everything else, it's come with lots of changes and canceled plans. But God has been so gracious in allowing us to resume ministry with lots of COVID procedures in place. But if there's one thing that I could ask the church to pray for us in, is that in his timing, he would fill our classrooms back up again. COVID has brought lots of new perspectives that we are so thankful for. And one of those realizations is that how amazing and wonderful it was to have our building bursting at the seams. We can't wait to have that problem again. We're so grateful for the kids that have joined us right now, but we are missing still so many. And so I'd love your prayer in that. If you're a parent with children in the ministry, thank you so much for sharing your babies with us. They bless us more than you can imagine, and we love them so much. If you're a volunteer, thank you so much for your friendship and for faithfully serving. And thank you, church, for supporting our ministry and for praying for us. If you have any more questions, please stop by the Kids Zone and see me or email me or whatever. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thank you, Julie. Thank you for sharing. Again, if you have more questions, as she said, please feel free to reach out to her. I think this gives you an opportunity also to connect with our staff. Maybe when you heard Guy and then Nathan and then Julie, and it may be that one of these areas you just maybe you have interest in, maybe you just want more information about the possibility of serving, let me encourage you to reach out. And some of you, like Julie said, preschool, children's ministry, you would say, well, that's just not going to be it for me, or I'd rather serve with students, or maybe it's none of those, but you want to talk to Guy, or next week we'll have more opportunities. You'll hear there's a lot of ministries here at Grace Point Church that you can serve in, and you'll hear more about those in the days and weeks to come. Next week, Jeff Neal, our discipleship pastor, is going to share Chris Pope as our care pastor. He's going to share with us, and Emily Henson, who leads our Kids Zone Academy ministry, is also going to share with us as we talk about the church, a fresh start with the church. I will be committed to my church. So I hope you'll be praying towards that and where God wants you to plug in and to serve. I want to read this last thing, and then we're going to pray together as we wind things down today. When we think about the church, and as I mentioned, the church is the people of God. It's built by God, and it's valuable to God. It has great potential. God has done some amazing things in the history of Grace Point Church. But the good news is, the exciting news is, the best is yet to come. And we all get to be a part of that. Of what is that? I'm going to share more about that, a vision, and where I think what's going to happen in the fall. And as we press forward, man, I see some amazing things that are going to happen. Let me share this with you. This one writer said, and I wrote it down when I heard him speak. He said, nothing on earth has greater potential to change lives and carry out his kingdom work in your community than your local church. There's nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close. Let's pray together and let's stand as we pray. Father, we're grateful. Thank you for Grace Point Church. This is your church. You have done and continue to do a great and mighty work. You have built this church and continue to build this church. And we are grateful. You value the church because you value and love people. And I thank you that I'm a part of this church, these people that comprise Grace Point Church. And my prayer is that every single person who's a part of this church will know and believe that they do matter. Every single person matters. Thank you for what you've done and all that you're going to do. And in response to who you are, we continue to worship. And we sing and we worship and we praise. This is your church. And our hearts worship you. We point everything to you today. And we're grateful for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.